In those moments when the Lord Ruler both held the power at the well and was feeling it drain away from him, he understood a great many things. He saw the power of Ferrokemi, and rightly feared it. Many of the Terrace people he knew would reject him as the hero, for he didn't fulfill their prophecies well. They'd see him as a usurper who killed the hero they sent, which, in truth, he was. I think, over the years, Ruin would subtly twist him and make him do terrible things to his own people. But at the beginning, I suspect his decision against them was motivated more by logic than emotion. He was about to unveil a grand power in the Mistborn. He could have, I suppose, kept Allomancy secret and used Ferrochemists as his primary warriors and assassins. However, I think he was wise to choose as he did. Ferrochemists, by the nature of their powers, have a tendency toward scholarship. With their incredible memories, they would have been very difficult to control over the centuries. Indeed, they were difficult to control, even when he suppressed them. Allomancy not only provided a spectacular new ability without that drawback, it offered a mystical power he could use to bribe kings to his side. 65. Elend stood upon a small rock outcropping to look over his troops. Below, the Koloss stalked forward, stomping a pathway in the ash for his humans to use after the initial Koloss assault. Elend waited, Ham standing just a few steps below. "I wear white," Elend thought, "the color of purity. I try to represent what is good and right, for my men." "The Koloss should have no trouble with those fortifications," Ham said quietly. "They can leap to the top of city walls. They'll be able to climb those broken stone ridges." Elend nodded. There probably wouldn't be any need for the human soldiers to attack. With his Koloss alone, Elend had the numerical advantage, and it was unlikely Yeoman's soldiers had ever fought the creatures before. The Koloss sensed a fight. He could feel them getting excited. They strained against him, wishing to attack. "Ham," he said, glancing down, "is this right?" Ham shrugged. "This move does make sense, El," he said, rubbing his chin. "Attacking is our only real chance of saving Vin. And we can't hold the siege. Not any longer." Ham paused, then shook his head, his tone of voice taking on that uncertain quality it always did when he considered one of his logic problems. "Yet, loosing a group of Koloss on a city does seem immoral. I wonder if you'll be able to control them once they begin to rampage. Is saving Vin worth the possibility of killing even one innocent child?" "I don't know." "Then again, maybe we'll save more children by bringing them into our empire." "I shouldn't have bothered to ask Ham," Elend thought. "He never has been able to give a straight answer." He looked out over the field, blue Koloss against a plain of black. With Tin, he could see men cowering on the tops of the Phadrix City ridges. "No," Ham said. Elend glanced down at the thug. "No," Ham repeated. "We shouldn't attack." "Ham," Elend said, feeling a surreal amusement. "Did you actually come to a conclusion?" Ham nodded. "Yes." He didn't offer explanation or rationalization. Elend looked up. "What would Vin do?" His first instinct was to think that she'd attack. But then he remembered when he had discovered her years before, after she'd assaulted Set's tower. She'd been huddled up in a corner, crying. "No," he thought. "No, she wouldn't do this thing. Not to protect me. She's learned better." "Ham," he said, surprising himself, "tell the men to pull back and disassemble camp. We're returning to Luthadel." Ham looked back, surprised, as if he hadn't expected Elend to come to the same conclusion he had. "And Vin?" "I'm not going to attack this city, Ham," Elend said. "I won't conquer these people, even if it is for their own good. We'll find another way to get Vin free. Ham smiled.
Seth's going to be furious.
Ellen shrugged. He's a paraplegic. What's he going to do, bite us? Come on, let's get down off this rock and go deal with Luthadel.
They're pulling back, my lord, the soldier said.
Vin sighed in relief. Ruin stood, expression unreadable, hands folded behind his back. Marsh stood with one hand, claw-like, on Yeoman's shoulder, both watching out the window. Ruin brought in an inquisitor, she thought. He must have grown tired of my efforts to get the truth out of Yeoman, and instead brought in someone he knew the obligator would obey.
This is very odd, Ruin finally said.
Vin took a breath, then gambled.
Don't you see?
She asked quietly. Ruin turned toward her. She smiled.
You really don't understand, do you?
This time Marsh turned as well.
You think I didn't realize? Vin asked. You think I didn't know you were after the Atium all along? That you were following us from cavern to cavern, pushing on my emotions, forcing me to search it out for you? It was so obvious. Your Kolos always drew close to a city only after we discovered that it was the next in line. You moved in to threaten us, make us move more quickly, but you never got your Kolos there too fast. The thing is, we knew all along.
Impossible, Ruin whispered.
No, Vin said. Quite possible. Atium is metal, Ruin. You can't see it. Your vision gets fuzzy when too much of it is around, doesn't it? Metal is your power. You use it to make inquisitors. But it's like light to you. Blinding. You never saw when we actually discovered the Atium. You just followed along with our ruse.
Marsh let go of Yeoman, then rushed across the room, grabbing Vin by the arms.
"Where is it?"
the Inquisitor demanded, lifting her, shaking her. She laughed, distracting Marsh as she carefully reached for his sash. Marsh shook her too much, however, and her fingers couldn't find their mark.
"You will tell me where the Atium is, child," Ruin said calmly. "Haven't I explained this? There is no fighting against me." You think yourself clever, perhaps, but you don't really understand. You don't even know what that Atium is.
Vin shook her head.
You think I'd actually lead you to it?
Marsh shook her again, rattling her, making her grit her teeth. When he stopped, her vision swam. To the side, she could barely make out Yeoman watching with a frown.
Yeoman, she said, your people are safe now. Can you not finally trust that Elland is a good man?
Marsh tossed her aside. She hit hard, rolling.
Ah, child, Ruin said, kneeling down beside her. Must I prove that you cannot fight me?
Yeoman, Marsh said, turning. Prepare your men. I want you to order an assault.
What? Yeoman said. My lord, an assault?
Yes, Marsh said. I want you to take all of your soldiers and have them attack Elland Venture's position.
Yeoman paled.
Leave behind our fortifications? Charge an army of Kolos?
That is my order, Marsh said.
Yeoman stood quietly for a moment.
Yeoman,
Vin said, crawling to her knees.
Don't you see that he's manipulating you?
Yeoman didn't respond. He looked troubled. What would make him even consider an order like that?
You see, Ruin whispered, you see my power. You see how I manipulate even their faith.
Give the order,
Yeoman said, turning from Vin, facing his soldier captains.
Have the men attack. Tell them that the Lord Ruler will protect them.
Well, Ham said, standing beside Elland in the camp. I didn't expect that.
Elland nodded slowly, watching the flood of men pour through the Fadrick's gateway.
Some stumbled in the deep ash. Others pushed their way forward, their charge hampered to a slow crawl.
"Some stayed back," Ellen said, pointing up at the wall top. Not having tin, Ham wouldn't be able to see the men who lined the wall, but he'd trust Ellen's words. Around them, Ellen's human soldiers were breaking camp. The Kolos still waited silently in their positions surrounding the camp.
"What is Yeoman thinking?" Ham asked. "He's throwing an inferior force against an army of Kolos?"
"Like we did, attacking the Kolos camp back at the Titan." Something about it made Ellen very uncomfortable.
"Retreat," Ellen said.
"Huh?"
Ham asked.
"I said sound the retreat," Ellen said. "Abandon position. Pull the soldiers back."
At his silent command, the Kolos began to charge away from the city. Yeoman's soldiers were still pushing their way through the ash. Ellen's Kolos, however, would clear the way for his men. They should be able to stay ahead.
"Strangest retreat I've ever seen," Ham noted, but moved back to give the orders.
"That's it," Ellen thought in annoyance. "It's time to figure out what the hell is going on in that city." Yeoman was crying. They were small, quiet tears. He stood straight-backed, not facing the window. "He fears that he's ordered his men to their deaths," Vin thought. She moved up to him, limping slightly from where she'd hit the ground. Marsh stood watching out the window. Ruin eyed her curiously.
"Yeoman," she said.
Yeoman turned toward her.
"It's a test," he said. "The Inquisitors are the Lord Ruler's most holy priests. I'll do as commanded, and the Lord Ruler will protect my men in this city. Then you will see."
Vin gritted her teeth. Then she turned and forced herself to walk up beside Marsh. She glanced out the window, and was surprised to see that Ellen's army was retreating away from Yeoman's soldiers. Yeoman's force wasn't running with very much conviction. Obviously, they were content to let their superior enemy run away before them. The sun was finally setting. Marsh did not seem to find Ellen's retreat amusing. That was enough to make Vin smile, which made Marsh grab her again.
"You think you have won?"
Marsh asked, leaning down, his uneven spike heads hanging just before Vin's face. Vin reached for his sash.
"Just a little farther." "You claim to have been playing with me, child," Ruin said, stepping up next to her. "But you are the one who has been played. The Kolos who serve you, they get their strength from my power. You think that I would let you control them if it weren't for my eventual gain?"
Vin felt a moment of chill.
"Oh, no."
Ellen felt a terrible ripping sensation. It was like a part of his innards had been suddenly and forcibly pulled away from him. He gasped, releasing his steel push. He fell through the ash-filled sky and landed unevenly on a rock shelf outside of Fadrick City. He gasped, breathing in and out, trembling.
"What in the hell was that?"
he thought, standing up, holding his thumping head. And then he realized it. He couldn't feel the Kolos anymore. In the distance, the massive blue creatures stopped running away. And then, to Ellen's horror, he watched them turn around. They began to charge his men. Marsh held her.
"Hemallergy is his power, Vin," he said. "The Lord Ruler used it unwittingly. The fool! Each time he built an Inquisitor or a Kolos, he made another servant for his enemy." Ruin waited patiently, knowing that when he finally broke free, he'd have an entire army waiting for him.
Yeoman was at another window. He gasped, quietly watching.
"You did deliver my men," the obligator said. "The Kolos have turned to attack their own army." "They'll come after your men next, Yeoman," Vin said dizzily. "Then they'll destroy your city." "It is ending," Ruin whispered. "Everything needs to fit into place. Where is the Atium? It's the last piece."
Marsh shook her. She finally managed to reach his sash, and slipped her fingers into it. Fingers trained by her brother and by a lifetime on the street. The fingers of a thief.
"You can't fool me, Vin," Ruin said. "I am God."
Marsh raised one hand, releasing her arm, then raised a fist as if to hit her. He moved with power, pewter obviously burning inside of him. He was an allomancer, like all Inquisitors, which meant he tended to keep metals on his person. Vin flipped her hand up and downed the vial of metals she'd stolen from his sash. Marsh froze, and Ruin fell silent. Vin smiled. Pewter flared in her stomach, restoring her to life. Marsh moved to complete his slap, but she pulled out of the way, then yanked him off balance by pulling her other arm, which he still held, to the side. He hung on, barely, but when he turned to face Vin, he found her holding her earring in one hand. And she Duralumin pushed it directly into his forehead. It was a tiny bit of metal, but it threw up a drop of blood as it hit, ripping through his head and passing out the other side. Marsh dropped, and Vin was thrown backward by her own push. She crashed into the wall, causing soldiers to scatter and yell, raising weapons. Yeoman turned toward her, surprised.
"Yeoman," she said. "Bring your men back! Fortify the city!"
Ruin had disappeared in the chaos of her escape. Perhaps he was out overseeing the control of the Kolos. Yeoman seemed indecisive.
No. I will not lose faith. I must be strong.
Vin gritted her teeth, climbing to her feet. Nearly as frustrating as Elend is at times, she thought, scrambling over to Marsh's body. She reached into his sash, pulling out the second and final vial he had stored there. She downed this, restoring the metals she'd lost to Duralumin. Then she hopped up on the windowsill. Mist puffed around her. The sun was still up, but the mists were arriving earlier and earlier. Outside, she could see Elend's forces beleaguered by rampaging Kolos on one side, Yeoman's soldiers, not attacking, yet blocking retreat, on the other. She moved to jump out and join the fight, and then she noticed something. A small group of Kolos, 1,000 in number, small enough to apparently have been ignored by both Elend's forces and Yeoman's. Even Ruin appeared to have paid them no heed, for they simply stood in the ash, partially buried like a collection of quiet stones. Vin's Kolos. The ones that Elend had given her, human at their lead. With a devious smile, she ordered them forward. To attack Yeoman's men.
"I'm telling you, Yeoman," she said, hopping off of the windowsill and back into the room. "Those Kolos don't care which side the humans are on. They'll kill anyone. The Inquisitors have gone mad now that the Lord Ruler is dead. Didn't you pay any attention to what this one said?"
Yeoman looked thoughtful.
"He even admitted that the Lord Ruler was dead, Yeoman," Vin said with exasperation. "Your faith is commendable, but sometimes you just have to know when to give up and move on."
One of the soldier captains yelled something, and Yeoman spun back toward the window. He cursed. Immediately, Vin felt something. Something pulling on her Kolos. She cried out as they were yanked away from her, but the damage had been done. Yeoman looked troubled. He'd seen the Kolos attack his soldiers. He looked into Vin's eyes, silent for a moment.
"Retreat into the city," he finally yelled, turning to his messengers. "And order the men to allow Venture's soldiers refuge inside as well."
Vin sighed in relief. And then something grabbed her leg. She looked down with shock as Marsh climbed to his knees. She had sliced through his brain itself, but the amazing Inquisitor healing powers seemed to be able to deal even with that.
"Fool," Marsh said, standing. "Even if Yeoman turns against me, I can kill him, and his soldiers will follow me. He's given them a belief in the Lord Ruler, and I hold that belief by right of inheritance."
Vin took a deep breath, then hit Marsh with a Duralumin soothing. If it worked on Kolos and Chandra, why not Inquisitors? Marsh stumbled. Vin's push lasted a brief moment, but during it she felt something. A wall, like she'd felt the first time she'd tried to control Tensun, or the first time she'd taken control of a group of Kolos.
She pushed,
pushed with everything she had. In a burst of power, she came close to seizing control of Marsh's body, but not close enough. The wall within his mind was too strong, and she only had one vial's worth of metal to use. The wall shoved her back. She cried out in frustration. Marsh reached out, growling, and grabbed her by the neck. She gasped, eyes widening as Marsh began to grow in size. Getting stronger, like...
A ferrochemist, she realized. I'm in serious trouble.
People in the room were yelling, but she couldn't hear them. Marsh's hand, now large and beefy, gripped her throat, strangling her. Only flared pewter was keeping her alive. She flashed back to the day many years ago when she'd been held by another Inquisitor, standing in the Lord Ruler's throne room. On that day, Marsh himself had saved her life. It seemed a twisted irony that she would struggle now, being strangled by him.
Not yet.
The mists began to swirl around her. Marsh started, though he continued to hold her. Vin drew upon the mists. It happened again. She didn't know how or why, but it just happened. She breathed the mists into her body as she had on that day so long ago when she'd killed the Lord Ruler. She somehow pulled them into her and used them to fuel her body with an incredible allomantic surge of power. And with that power, she pushed on Marsh's emotions. The wall inside of him cracked, then burst. For a moment, Vin felt a sense of vertigo. She saw things through Marsh's eyes. Indeed, she felt like she understood him, his love of destruction, and his hatred of himself. And through him she caught a brief glimpse of something. A hateful, destructive thing that hid behind a mask of civility. Ruin was not the same thing as the mists. Marsh cried out, dropping her. Her strange burst of power dissipated, but it didn't matter, for Marsh fled out the window and pushed himself away through the mists. Vin picked herself up, coughing.
I did it. I drew upon the mists again. But why now? Why, after all the trying, did it happen now?
There was no time to consider it at the moment, not with the Koloss attacking. She turned to the baffled yeoman.
Continue to retreat into the city, she said. I'm going out to help.
Elend fought desperately, cutting down Koloss after Koloss. It was difficult, dangerous work even for him. These Koloss couldn't be controlled. No matter how he pushed or pulled on their emotions, he couldn't bring even one of them under his power. That only left fighting, and his men weren't prepared for battle. He'd forced them to abandon camp too quickly. A Koloss swung, its sword whooshing dangerously close to Ellen's head. He cursed, dropping a coin, and pushing himself backward through the air over his fighting men and back into camp. They'd managed to retreat back to the positioning of their original fortification, which meant that they had a small hill for defense and didn't have to fight in ash. A group of his coin shots, he had only 10, stood firing wave after wave of coins into the main bulk of the Koloss, and archers threw similar volleys. The main line of soldiers was supported by lurchers from behind, who would pull on Koloss weapons and throw them off balance, giving the regular men extra openings. Thugs ran around the perimeter in groups of 2 or 3, shoring up weak spots and acting as reserves. Even with all of that, they were in serious trouble. Ellen's army couldn't stand against so many Koloss any more easily than Fadrix could have. Ellen landed in the middle of the half-disassembled camp, breathing heavily, covered in Koloss blood. Men yelled as they fought a short distance away, holding the camp perimeter with the help of Ellen's allomancers. The bulk of the Koloss army was still bunched around the northern section of camp, but Ellen couldn't pull his men back any farther toward Fadrix without exposing them to Yeoman's archers. Ellen tried to catch his breath as a servant rushed up with a cup of water for him. Set sat a short distance away, directing the battle tactics. Ellen tossed aside the empty cup and moved over to the general, who sat at a small table. It held a map of the area, but hadn't been marked on. The Koloss were so close, the battle happening just yards away, that it wasn't really necessary to keep an abstract battle map.
"Never did like having these things in the army,"
Set said as he downed a cup of water himself. A servant moved over, leading a surgeon who pulled out a bandage to begin working on Ellen's arm, which, up until that moment, he hadn't noticed was bleeding.
"Well," Set noted, "at least we'll die in battle rather than of starvation."
Ellen snorted, picking up his sword again. The sky was nearly dark. They didn't have much time before. A figure landed on the table in front of Set.
"Ellen," Vin said. "Retreat to the city. Yeoman will let you in."
Ellen started.
"Vin."
Then he smiled.
"What took you so long?"
"I got delayed by an inquisitor and a dark god," she said. "Now hustle. I'll go see if I can distract some of those Kolos."